God, it's that river of his anointing, and we thank God for that river of his anointing today on Living the Good Life, coming to you live from Clearwater, Florida, in this radio station. And we are always excited to do that, to be here live, Beacon of Hope Ministries radio ministry entitled Living the Good Life. And that is what you have just tuned in to. And it's always a joy, isn't it, Pastor Jim, who is with me right here beside me to the left, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, one of my associate pastors. And what a huge, wonderful presence in our ministry you are. And I thank God for you. You're just a blessing. And isn't it, you just said, we are so blessed to have Brother Ken on before us and his great show, Gospel Highlights. And, amen. You know, people just tune in a little early because you're going to get some great music on the air with Brother Ken. And he is always saying, you know, hey, you guys hang in there for Living the Good Life. And we like that. We appreciate that, Brother Ken. So it's going to be a great day. We have been teaching a series on life-changing prayer, have we not?
And it has been life-changing.
Oh, it has. And I find it so interesting that during this, it started out a 10-week series. I assume that still is what it's going to be. But you never know about God. But anyway, the life-changing prayer, we have had so many opportunities to see God move in a life-changing way in people's lives during this period of time, Pastor Jim. It's huge.
Yeah, well, we're doing something different on Wednesday nights, which I really like, is we're putting our prayer requests on cards and praying over those either as a group or we split into smaller groups. And then this past Wednesday, I really like what we did.
Wasn't that cool?
I just got to give a plug for Sister Nan.
Yes.
Our little Nan Asher.
Right.
She had put everything on one sheet for the people that were there. Because we talked about what were the most important things we wanted our Wednesday night group to be praying about. So we're all praying for each other. And, you know, I'm expecting results.
I mean, absolutely.
I think all of us, our faith is starting to rise up. And we're expecting from God. We're not just hoping.
We're expecting,
and there's a difference. We're pregnant with hope.
That's
now.
Right.
You know, we're expecting.
Exactly. You know, you are so right about that. And I have all those cards in my Bible from Wednesday night from the different people that were there and what they were believing God for. And it's just cool to be praying over those on a daily basis and know that we are each praying for each other. If you are out there and not a part of a church regularly, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope Ministries. We now have a brand new location, been there since June, I guess, June 1st.
Yeah.
And it is 3700 Almerton, and it is in a brand new strip plaza. We're on the end. We love it. God blessed us with this. We've had a tremendous time of painting and carpeting and all those good things, building an office, a kitchen, an entry, a lot of things. It was a lot of fun during that time. And it's really fun to see what God is doing now that the doors are open. We had a person drive down from Spring Hill today that had actually driven by the place when we were remodeling. And said, I've got to go back there. And he came in today, and it was a powerful service we had today. And he was very instrumental in that service today.
Amen.
And so it was great what God is doing as these doors are of opportunity have opened to us, new doors since our actual physical new church doors have opened. The anointing of God is so strong in that place.
And I'm going to go on and say it. You and I agreed this morning, and I'd kind of like everybody else to agree with us too. There's an empty spot next door to where we're at, and we're believing that we're going to grow into that.
Into
spot.
That one also, absolutely.
And, you know, it witnesses in my heart that the Lord has big plans.
Right.
Big plans for the church, and not so that we can get all, you know, glory and all this.
Oh, no, it's nothing like that.
It's for the kingdom. I mean,
amen.
it's not that any either of us or the Beacon of Hope name can be, like, you know, famous.
It's nothing like that.
But it's so, you know, God has put in our hearts, in the heart of the core of us, a desire to really see the kingdom grow.
Yes.
And not only within each of us, but to see Satan's kingdom be taken back and converted, as it were, into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And that's what's so important then about the life-changing prayer, because that's only going to happen.
Right.
As, you know, as we continue to pray, and prayer coupled with the Word of God,
yes,
is what brings us the victory, which
Amen.
Is what brings the kingdom here in our midst.
Amen. And yes, you and I, we were into a big, heavy prayer session before church this morning, believing God for some huge things. And, you know, we're out there on that limb of faith, Pastor Jim. We really are. And we believe that what we teach on this show every week, faithfully, live, this is show number 186, by the way, that we are doing 14 more to go till the big 200. We are believing God that as we teach His Word, it's bearing fruit in people's lives. And we have been seeing more people write in their prayer requests, people that we don't know,
right.
You know, that are obviously listening to the show because they know all this. They know our prayer line mm-hmm. Address, which is email address, which is prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. So we're seeing more and more people use that prayer line. It's growing. We'll talk more about it again during the show. But you have the internet up right now. People,
sure
you can reach us right now in the control room right here in the 1340 Tan Talk radio station here in Clearwater. And here's how you reach us, pastor@ Beacon of Hope Ministries, that ends in IES, beaconofhopeministries.com. That's actually my email. And during the week, if you want to reach me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. So anyway, they can email during the show and ask a question or
sure.
give us a comment, right?
Absolutely.
And we enjoy that. So we love being on the air, and it is a matter of being committed to getting the word out,
Amen.
You know, like you said, it's not about my name, your name, the name of Beacon of Hope or anything like that. It is not about that. It is all about Jesus, and it's all about getting the word out. So we're excited about what God is going to do in this show today. I'm going to tell you the title to the show. Are you ready? What's Your Attitude Got to Do with It? That's the title of the show. Now, don't forget, we're talking about life-changing prayer. What's your attitude got to do with it? All right, let's hear this first song, The Word by Sarah Groves.
I've been every devotional, been every place emotional. Try to hear a new word from God, and I think it's very odd. And while I attempt to help myself, my Bible sits upon the shelf. With every promise I could ever need. And the Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be. And the Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be. People are getting fit for truth like they're buying a new tailored suit. Does it fit across the shoulders? Will it fade when it gets older? Throw ideas that aren't in style in the Salvation Army pile and search for something more to meet our needs. The Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be. The Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be. And the Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be. Seek ye first, what a verse. We are pressed but not crushed, perplexed but don't despair. We are persecuted but not abandoned. We are no longer slaves, we are daughters and sons. And when we are weak, we are very strong. And neither death nor life, nor present nor future, nor death nor height can keep us from the love of Christ. And the Word I need.
Never heard that song before. Wow, you've joined us. Woo! live, living the good life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. John chapter 1, get your Bible. The Word was first. I'm going to have you read it in some other translation that you have there, Pastor Jim, in a minute.
I tell you, I'm at the opposite end today from the message. I got
what
King James and Amplified.
James and Amplified. I tell you, we have all these different translations. I like to teach out the message because it's an everyday contemporary translation and accurate, really, with original Greek and Hebrew, very accurate. But John 1:1 says, the Word was first. The Word present to God, God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. And what is this talking about, Pastor Jim, in verses 1 and 2 of John chapter 1?
Talking about Jesus being the Word, the Logos,
Word.
The universal Word of
yes,
God.
Yes, the Word of God.
It's talking about Jesus in the beginning. Well, I'll read out the Amplified.
Yeah, go right ahead.
In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ.
Yes.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself.
Yes.
He was present originally with God. I mean, there's books can
written
be written about
that.
These first two verses.
Absolutely. And it's saying that Jesus is the Word.
Is the Word.
Right? Yes.
And when we had communion last week,
yes.
I read out of John chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were shocked by what Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood.
Right.
Well, people thought he was talking cannibalism
right.
or something.
Right, yeah, something
but
strange.
Draw it back to John chapter 1.
Right.
He is the Word made flesh.
That's right.
I mean, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh.
That's it.
And tabernacled among us.
Woo.
That's what Jesus was talking about, was getting his Word, because he is the Word personified.
Exactly.
So when he says eat his flesh, he's talking about getting the Word down inside of us.
Getting the Word down on the inside of us.
And that's what's so important here, because Jesus is the Word.
Exactly.
And
all right, let's go to John 1:14. Okay, the Word, I'm going to read it from the message, and then you can read it from whichever one of yours you want to read it from
okay.
there. He's got King James and Amplified. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son. I love that. Generous inside and out, true from start to finish. All right, would you read verse 14? John chapter 1, verse 14. Everybody listen, because this sets up what we want to talk about today, about our attitude. Go ahead.
And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us. And we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth.
Woo! And read it in the King James, too, because I memorized it that way
yeah.
a long time ago.
And the Word was made flesh mm-hmm. and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and
full
truth.
Full of grace and truth. It tells you right there, like Father, like Son. It tells you that he's full of grace, which is God's unmerited favor.
And truth.
And truth. And the Word is truth. And he spoke the Word through prophets in the Old Testament, through the gospel stories, through the first apostles
mm-hmm.
and Paul and all of these guys. The Word of God is inspired. It says in Timothy that the Word of God is inspired of God and able. I'm mixing up Hebrews, aren't I now?
Well,
Timothy 3:16.
Timothy 3:16.
Go ahead.
All Scripture is
yes.
And literally the Greek means God breathed.
God
not
breathed.
Inspired kind of means you put the Spirit into it, but to be God-breathed means God actually breathed this
yes,
out.
He sure did.
It's not like it's just inspired. It's beyond inspired. It's God-breathed. And that's why the Word, it says, is profitable.
Exactly.
For teaching, correction, reproof, so that we can be trained
right.
in it, trained in righteousness, because it's like God exhaled the Word.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what the Greek means.
And as we study this Word, we begin to see the attitude of the Father as demonstrated through the life of his Son,
mm-hmm.
Jesus. In fact, Jesus, it says in Hebrews 1, that Jesus is the exact representation. It's like looking in the mirror. When I look in the mirror and I see my image, I know, okay, that's what I look like. Okay. When Jesus looked in the mirror, what did he see? He saw his father. Mm-hmm. He saw the nature of God. And you say, what does this have to do with our attitude? It has everything to do with you getting answers to your prayers. So hang on, and you're going to see our train of thought here. The father says, all right, I'm going to visit earth in the form of my son. Okay, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to show them what I'm all about. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. And I love it, Pastor Jim, that God the Father loved us so much to do that.
Right. Well, and Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen
the Father. Exactly.
And people have such warpy ideas about...
Warpy ideas about
God's nature.
All right.
And all they really need to do is look at Jesus.
Exactly.
Because Jesus is God manifest in the flesh.
Exactly.
Like you said out of Hebrews chapter 1, the exact representation of God.
Exactly.
You see Jesus, you see the Father. And, you know, people need to do that because there are so many, well, warpy, wacky ideas about God floating around out there.
Right.
Get into the Word. Get into, read the Gospels.
That's where it's at.
And find out. Who Jesus is, and you're going to know who the Father is.
Exactly. You know, and I say this a lot, but it's so true. The Word of God and Jesus and his teachings get a very bad rap. You know, God the Father gets a bad rap. We got people out there in our society that say, oh, God's just mean. He's vengeful. Look at all the people that were killed in the Old Testament. And they go off on these crazy tangents. And yet God said, you want to see me? Look at my son.
Exactly.
Okay. And so, you guys, the stories in the Old Testament are there for a reason. They teach us. They build our faith. And they're human people, human nature, right. Working.
And I think, you know, and we've seen it, and I've actually had discussions with people about this. They tend to talk about the God of the Old Testament
right.
and then the God of the New Testament. There's
Same
only
God.
One God.
Same God.
There's only one God.
Exactly.
There's no difference. And if you look really, and if you honestly study the Old Testament, the Old Covenant scriptures, there's grace and truth through all of that.
All of it. Grace and truth.
You know, God was merciful even all the way through the Old Testament.
Exactly.
And, you know, that was different because at that point, people did not have the Holy Spirit, and the law had to be written on tablets.
Right.
Not in our hearts. And, you know, fortunately, praise God, we live under the new covenant.
Amen.
And we have the law written on the tables of our hearts.
It's on the table of our heart. And the reason that is because God sent his son Jesus
Amen.
To this earth.
Amen.
And it's all about Jesus, guys. And what does John 3:16 say? That's one of the most popular verses in the whole Bible. You see it at ball games, you
exactly.
know, written on it. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So it comes down to believing. Now, we're going to make several points during this show today. And if you have a paper handy, I would say you better grab it and get a pen. Because we're going to say some important things. You say, well, do you have it all written out, what you're going to say? No, no, no. See this blank piece of paper right here? We don't have any idea how it's going to go, except that we know the theme that we want to get at. We want to get at the fact that our attitude has an awful lot to do with answers to prayer.
Amen.
And we're going to talk specifically about that. And do it in such a way that you're not going to feel condemned and beat up, okay? Because we want you to experience the life of God, not condemnation and guilt and all that. So now let's go over in the same book, John. Let's go over to chapter 14. We have enter a discussion going on. And Jesus is saying that he's starting to tell them that he's going to go to heaven. And I love the beginning of John 14. In fact, I've quoted it many times at funerals that I've performed. You know, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Go prepare a place for you, mm-hmm. you know, and where I go, there you will be also. And Jesus is talking about this. And Thomas begins to say in verse 5, I believe, Master, we have no idea where you're going. We don't have any idea where the road is. What road? What are we talking about? Now, I propose today that there's a lot of people, maybe even listening today, some of you, that aren't sure about this faith stuff at all, and you have no idea where to get on the road to get your prayers answered. You're just kind of like blah, 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 flying around and letting life happen, and your attitude is one of, well, you know, life does happen, but we have a response that we should give.
Amen.
And I heard Graham Cook say recently, instead of reacting, we should be responding, okay? Which I find very interesting. You know, maybe we'll talk more about that. But responding and doing, Jesus said many times in the New Testament that when people give you a hard time, respond, Jesus said, I just read this yesterday, respond with the energies of prayer. With the energies of prayer. So now let's go on here to John 14. And Thomas is asking these questions. Jesus answers in John 14:6, a very famous verse of scripture here in the Word, because it's one of the I am places where Jesus identifies and gives us clues about who he is. And this is one I love. He says, I am, in the King James, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? Mm-hmm. The way, the truth, and the life. In the Message, it says, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. Okay? No one gets to the Father apart from me. That's the scripture you just talked about. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've even seen him. So what is he trying to communicate here, Pastor Jim? What is he trying to say to Philip and to Thomas?
Well, Thomas had asked the question, we don't know where you're going, we don't know how to get there. And Jesus simply said, I am the way,
right,
the truth, the life. He is the only way,
right,
the ultimate truth and the eternal life.
Amen.
And he says, you know, and a lot of people have trouble with this next phrase, but he says, nobody comes to the Father except through me.
Right. And he said that, Jesus. And yes, people debate that all the time. What about this good person or that good person? You know what? We don't have to debate that because Jesus said this.
Jesus said it here.
He said that the way to God, the way is through Jesus, the Son.
And then Philip jumps in and says, okay, fine. Show us the Father. It'll be enough.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, have I been with you so long that, you know, you've not known me, Philip?
Right.
And here's what I quoted. The one who's seen me has seen the Father. That's in verse 9.
Yeah.
So he's just simply saying, I am.
Right.
I've shown you who the Father is. I've shown you the Father's personality. I've shown you the Father's power. I've shown you the Father's love.
Right. Shown you all those things.
I've shown you all this.
Now, again, I want to come back to our theme today. It is, what does your attitude have to do with answered prayer? First of all, if you're writing things down, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You really want to get your prayer. Now, you say, you mean God won't answer prayer for other people? I'm not even going there. Well, show is not about that. This show is about building a firm foundation for you to get your prayers answered.
And if I may just jump in, sometimes people will say things like that.
Yeah.
Just to get us a little sidetracked.
Right. Not going there.
No, we're coming right back to you. What's your foundation?
Right.
What are you building your foundation on?
Exactly. In fact, I started the sermon this morning in Luke chapter 6 mm-hmm. with the story that Jesus is talking about. You know, wise people, wise men. Do you remember that little, we got to do this at the nursing home next week, Pastor Jim. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Remember that old song? You never heard it? Oh my gosh, I'll teach it to you.
Okay.
Because it's got hand motions too.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It was a Sunday school song.
I'm
growing
just ready
up
for, you know,
deep and wide. Right. Well, this one's kind of like that. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Okay. And then the house came tumbling down, was built upon the sand. Okay, so it's a great little, we'll have to do that.
Okay, so
Luke chapter 6, Jesus is saying, you know, people, you really want to understand what's going on here with the Father and what he came to do by sending his Son. You got to build your house wisely. Now, do you want to, I've already talked about sinkholes this morning because I'm a realtor, and believe me, I live in Florida, and I've had four sinkhole listings in this past year.
Ooh.
So I've been dealing with sinkholes. I know the ins and outs of sinkholes, and I can tell you it's not a good thing if you have a sinkhole under your house, because it means that the sand, because we at Florida, this is all sand, is beginning to shift. And the soil is moving, and that means your house is going to move, and soon you see cracks and all kinds of things. What is Jesus talking about here, Pastor Jim, in relation to the foundation that gets prayers answered?
Well, going back to what we talked about at the very first, Jesus said, the one who hears my words and does them,
amen,
is like the man who builds his house upon the rock, upon a firm foundation. So it's all about the word.
Exactly.
You know, keep kind of going back to the word. What does the word say?
Exactly.
What does the word say? And, you know, sometimes the word will tell us to do things. And Jesus says, if you do that, then you're building your house on that firm foundation. And the storms can come.
Right.
And that house is still going to stand.
It's still going to stand.
You know, it's like it's got the hurricane shutters.
Right. It's got all that.
If you're in a mobile, it's got really good tie downs.
Right.
You know,
there you go.
I can speak from experience on that. But you got really good tie downs.
I remember the first mobile I sold that they didn't have any tie downs. And before we could close, we had to go get tie downs taken care of. So I understand tie downs. That's to tie down the house so it doesn't blow away.
Doesn't blow away.
There you go. And so many people have their spiritual house, Pastor Jim, built on fear, perhaps. Maybe they got saved in a rally because they heard that there is heaven and there is hell, and they sure don't want to go to hell. So we're just going to say, okay, all right, I believe in God, blah, 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 blah. And that's it. That's not a firm foundation. No, that's fire insurance.
Right. And I think some people build it on feelings.
Feelings, right.
And those, you know, those can be, again, fear being a feeling. But I think just trying to build it on feelings itself, like you said, some people get saved. And it's a very emotional thing.
Right.
And feelings come and go. Faith is constant. The word is constant.
That's our foundation.
Right. Jesus said, heaven and earth will even pass away, but his word will never pass away. That's why we have to build on that. Feelings come and go.
Yes.
That's building your house upon sand, upon anything that's contrary to the word of God is building your house on sand. So that's
totally
any attitude.
Right.
Any thought, any idea that is contrary to the word of God is building your house, your life upon the sand.
Exactly. And when you said emotion, some people have experienced being in a service where the power of God was really moving. And so they suddenly go, okay, God, I come into my life. But they never take it any further. And you know the parable of the sower. And when Jesus said sometimes that happens and that's it, that's the end of it. You know, that word just goes away and they never ever come back to that again. It's fascinating. I would love to know, God will probably tell us someday in heaven, how many people find God on their deathbed? Probably a whole lot.
Well, and I think that's fine. Praise God. At least they found him.
At least they found him.
At some point.
Yeah. You know?
But it's so important. And that's why, you know, I praise God. My two born again, I mean, not born again, but when I was actually saved, in fact, I told you about that this morning.
Yeah.
It was slightly, one day, over 37 years ago, I was born again. Born again in October 30th, 1973.
All right.
And it's funny because it was not an emotional thing.
Yeah.
I was involved in a ministry that went out kind of door to door. And this was a campus ministry in Ball State University.
Where we both went. And I have my Ball State alumni shirt on today. I don't know why. I just did. But.
It's very, very nice shirt, by
the
way.
Thank you. You're welcome.
But the person who led the Bible study that I was involved in, we couldn't find anybody to witness to.
Right.
So he asked me about, did I have anything on my heart? Well, we had just studied, oddly enough, the parable of the sower and the seed. And I knew, God, not audibly at this point, had spoken to me, but I knew in my heart I wasn't right with God. And so Roger said, well, you know, what's on your mind? And so we talked, and I prayed a simple prayer, and I asked Jesus into my heart. Now, I'd gotten, quote-unquote, saved many a time at church camp. I mean, every Thursday night was the Sawdust Trail revival meeting.
Yes, it was, yes.
And I would always go up
too.
And get saved. But you get back, and there was never any follow-up.
Nothing ever happened.
You know,
yeah, so, didn't change your life. Right.
You know, I may have been saved at age 8. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do know it took when I was 18. So, and then a year later, almost to the day, when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, again, I was by
myself.
Right. I prayed a simple prayer. There was no big emotions.
Right.
But I had no choice. I had to base it on faith and on the word of God. And it happened.
Right.
And, you know, some people say, well, maybe it would have helped if you'd been, you know, in a big group and there was all this emotional stuff. Well, for me, God knew what he was doing because
sure.
I can say I don't have to base it on emotion.
Right.
You know, it's those two things, my salvation, the baptism, and the Holy Spirit, are solidly based upon the Word.
Exactly.
And
that's your foundation. There
right.
you go,
that's
right
the
there.
Firm foundation.
Exactly. And so in that parable of the sower, Jesus said some people get saved, quote mm-hmm. unquote, receive God's Word, and then they get caught up in all the worries and cares of the world, and it just
it chokes out the
you know. And then another one, you know, they you know start in, but then life's things happen and they're preoccupied and they just kind of walk away. And so what we're saying here today is this: your attitude, where you are with what God says about His precious Word, and the surety, the promises, let's call them those, the promises of God found in His Word, has everything to do with you getting your prayers answered. It has everything to do with that. And we're going to talk about that in detail. But let's go on. Verses 11 to 14 in John 14. Jesus said this: believe me, I'm in the message. I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see. These works. Okay? The works, what are those? Those are the miracles. Those are the
right.
answers to prayer. We're talking right now about life-changing prayer. People sometimes come to God because they have had a miracle mm-hmm. in their life, and they realize, oh, wow, oh, this is true after all. Oh, my. You know, I want to serve the living God. So he goes on to say, Jesus here, the person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things. I love that. I love the fact that Jesus says we can lay hands on the sick and see them healed.
Amen.
That we can pray for people's finances, that we can pray for their healing in their physical body, their emotions, whatever.
Well, and he says greater.
Greater things.
And I mean, I kind of look at that as both ways.
Uh-huh.
Greater in numbers.
Greater.
Because there's more of us doing it.
Right.
Than just Jesus. But greater as in quality.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus raised the dead. So what? We're going to walk through a graveyard and people are just going to pop out of the graves? I don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
Now, believe me, don't go build no doctrines around that.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, greater works are going to happen.
Yes.
We're going to see greater miracles. Maybe instead of feeding 5,000, we'll see miraculously 10, 20,000 people.
Hard to say.
You
yeah.
know, who knows?
But it's all based on faith.
It's based on faith.
And it's faith in God's Word.
Amen. And I have to jump in because this
Go
morning.
Go ahead and jump in.
I read Hebrews chapter 6. I do daily devotionals, and
sure.
that is what it was this morning. And it says, talking about Abraham, by two unchangeable things, God made known to Abraham what God was going to do.
Yes.
By his promise, Abraham, you're going to have a son.
Promise.
And his
the
oath.
Word. Yes.
His covenant.
Mm, amen.
You know, when Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, he had Abraham do that sacrifice, and God
right.
himself walked in between
yes.
the animal halves.
Right.
That's his oath. God swore. God gave him a promise.
Yes.
And then God swore by an oath that
right.
he was going to give Abraham a child. And here's something really cool.
Amen.
Abraham before that had been known as Abram.
Yes.
Which meant exalted father. The Lord added one little letter.
Yeah.
The, you know, the sound, and
right.
made it Abraham.
Right.
And that means father of many nations. So every time people spoke
Woo.
His name, they were confessing what Abraham was going to become. And every time Abraham said it or heard it, oh, I'm sorry, I'm preaching.
No, prophet, that's fine. You go
right
ahead.
He was reminded of God's promise.
Exactly.
And sometimes we need to do that. We need those little reminders sometimes of God's promise because our attitude, you know, sometimes our attitude can get pretty kind of lousy. It's like, yeah, okay, I know what the Word of God says, but I don't know that I can believe it for me,
right.
or I don't know that I want to stand on it, or I'm too worried. I mean, what if something
right,
goes wrong?
Right, the what ifs, right.
Well,
yeah.
Sometimes we just need a reminder like Abraham had.
Exactly.
Hey, exalted father, how you doing?
Right. Well, you know I did that in 2000. Remember that story about my weight loss?
Mm-hmm.
2000,
yeah.
I decided to go to Weight Watchers. I decided, okay, I'm going to get some weight off. And I, knowing this principle that you're talking about, And in our family, one of the things we joked about was Indian names. And so I gave myself a new Indian name, and it was She Who Weighs Much Less Than Before. And that was my new Indian name. Yes, it's true. I should not have told you, Bill, the engineer. You won't let me forget that. But that is my Indian name I gave myself in 2000 when I went to Weight Watchers. January of 2000. New century, might as well go to Weight Watchers. So at my real estate office, I got my agents, fellow agents, and my secretary to call me that. And so my secretary would say, line two, She Who Weighs Much Less Than Before. Da da da. And it was just a faith thing, and it worked. I mean, I did lose the weight I needed to lose. And it was like the thing of calling that thing to be not as if it were. But,
and we've actually, I won't out this person, but
okay,
we've actually
don't out
done
this
that
person.
At church with
yes.
one of the people that comes to church. We gave her we tacked onto her name a little Hebrew name.
Right. That means happiness.
Which means happiness. So we're
even said, I want to be happier. And right. So now we call her, we won't tell you her name, Dada Asher, because that does mean the happy one.
Means happy.
Yeah.
So
praise God.
So we're confessing it. She's confessing it. It's a wonderful thing.
And y'all, that we really aren't on a tangent. This all is about what we believe and what we say. Because what does our attitude have to do with answered prayer? It has a lot to do with what we say. And we're going to talk more about that as we go on in the show. We remind you that you can email us any comments or questions, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com during this show. So let me finish reading these couple verses, and then we're going to get to our next song. It's a Clint Brown song. Whoa. All right. The person who trusts me, this is what Jesus says in John 14:11. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it. Now, that's the key sentence right there. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do it. Can you read that sentence in your two translations? Yeah. Whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing.
Okay, verse 12. First, I'll read out of the King James. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I'll read it out of now the Amplified. And I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Yes, I will grant, I myself will do it for you, whatever you shall ask in my name, as presenting all that I am.
Based on the foundation of who God is. And that's how he answers. You have to have a foundation in your life. I mean, that doesn't mean you can never get a prayer answered. We're saying, hey, your attitude has a lot to do with that. And do you have the foundation, the firm foundation of God's word working in your life? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Word of God?
Amen.
And as you believe that, you begin to realize you need to read all about it. And you need to see what Jesus said, the words that he spoke. You know, they're read in a lot of Bibles. In your translation, the words of Jesus are in red and in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But anyway, let's hear this Clint Brown song. Did you have another comment to that?
Nope.
Psalm 34, which, by the way, is one of my favorite psalms in all the psalms. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Mouth.
Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 34, Clint Brown.
His praise will always be in my mouth. My soul will boast in the Lord. The righteous will hear and be glad. I will bless the Lord at all. Praise will always be in my mouth, my soul.
praise God. I will bless the Lord at all times. I praise the Lord and thank Him this afternoon on Living the Good Life for His precious Word. It's His Word that changes us.
Amen.
You know, and this show is all about what's our attitude got to do with answered prayer. And one of those things, Pastor Jim, is that we have got to develop an attitude of believing God and an attitude that God is telling us the truth. You know, we have some shirts at Beacon of Hope that say faith is acting like God told you the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there's so prevalent in our society is negativity all the time. Don't you think? I mean, I don't know about you, but I run into it everywhere, you know. Just it's bad in our society, especially right now in 2010 in this economy.
Well, the economy, I mean, people, I think one of the reasons people have a lot of negativity is people don't have a lot of hope.
Right.
And people have been burned.
Yes.
A lot by, I mean, we're getting ready for our big election and, you know, it's pretty widespread across the country.
Sure.
Midterm elections, people are pretty fed up with
yeah.
with just being burned by politicians, and people have lost hope, and
right.
you know they're feeling like they can't trust anybody, including God.
Right, exactly.
And that goes back, you know, to what I'd said before. Though he made his promise.
Amen.
He gave us his oath. I mean, for us as believers in under this covenant, he made the promise all through the Old Testament. I'm going to send you a Messiah.
Right.
I'm going to send you a deliverer. And then
and he
sealed it on the cross.
Right.
On the cross. Well, that was the oath right
yes.
there. He sealed it on the
sealed
cross
it.
And made it eternal in the resurrection.
And I totally agree. And I love teaching all the stuff coming up in December with the, you know, the birth of Jesus and the prophecies that all came true. But, you know, Pastor Jim, realistically, there's a whole huge amount of people in this world who have chosen to ignore, like put on blinders, like we have headphones here in the studio so we can hear the music and hear, you know, what we're sending out across the airwaves. But a lot of people have headphones on a daily basis. And you do see this, by the way, in our society a lot now. You know, people with headphones on, by the way. But I mean, headphones that block out and they are trying their best to keep from hearing God speaking into their lives in one area or another. It's almost like they're blind, deaf, and dumb, and hard of hearing, too. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and I think part of that may be unconscious.
Yeah.
Part of it, though, is conscious.
Right.
I mean, you know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the God of this world,
right,
Satan, has blinded people's
Amen.
Eyes.
Amen, yes.
You know, so when we pray for people, we need to pray the blinders be taken
exactly.
off. Because that's something, I mean, people may not have a lot of control over. I mean, Satan just likes to blind our eyes to the truth of the gospel. Sometimes, however, you know, we just tend to rebel against because, well, I mean, maybe
rebellion,
we were brought up in a church that condemned mm-hmm. us for something about us.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. So we're going to be mad at God.
Right.
Not, I mean, I know people who are afraid to read the Bible because of what's in it. Well,
right.
It's really hard to get a firm foundation if you don't get into the Word.
That's exactly
because you're
right.
afraid of it. And
mm-hmm. good point.
You know, sometimes people just they're afraid of it, or they don't want to. Ooh, how am I going to say this? They don't want to go by the rules that
right.
are in it. I hesitate using that word, but I mean, there's some things in the Bible that God says specifically. This is what I want for you
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
And people just don't want to do that
sometimes. So there's rebellion. There's doing my own thing. There's ignorance of the word because I just don't want to know what God says. But it's interesting, and I've seen this for all these years I've been pastoring now, 20-something, that people do tend to run to God when their back's up against the wall.
Right.
They do suddenly find, oh, he's out there. Now, not everybody does run to God when their back's up against the wall. Some remain skeptical and remain belligerent and remain hardened. But a lot of people, that's when they find God.
Right.
You know, when there's no place else to turn. And so this show is all about what can you do to get your prayers answered? And it starts with you. It starts with you accepting that you need an attitude of faith. You need an attitude of believing that God wants to bless you. You need an attitude adjustment, if you will.
Well, you brought that up this morning with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and quote that.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Right.
For the one who comes to God must believe, first of all, that he is, that he exists.
Yes.
And secondly, that he is the rewarder of those who seek him.
I love that verse. Hebrews 11, 6. Write it down in your notes, dear listeners. Hebrews 11, 6.
Because, you know, here.
Yes.
First of all, believe that God exists. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that's hard. And, you know, and I guess I've never sort of pseudo-intellectually struggled with that when I was in high school.
Pseudo-intellectually struggled.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was kind of when it was cool to be agnostic.
All right,
back
okay.
We're talking
long
early,
time ago.
Early 70s here.
Okay, that long time ago.
But I've never really struggled with that. Sometimes I struggle with the second part. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek
him. But you've always believed he existed.
Oh, always.
There's people out there that are struggling with that right now. God, mm-hmm. where are you? I don't even think you're out there. You know, that's just a nice idea, you know?
Well, honestly, I would love for an atheist to tell me sometime how you can look at the world in all its diversity and all of its just...
The birth of a child. Ugh.
All the wondrous things in this earth.
Yeah.
And not say that there's some creative force behind it all somewhere. I don't get it. I can't imagine being an atheist. I mean, it's so far-fetched for me.
Me too.
I just can't imagine it. But... because I mean, I look around and I think this is so incredible.
Trees, you know, plants, trees, everything, you know, animals.
The oceans, gravity.
All of it. It's just only,
The changing, I'm just living all down here and I have a dog. And so we have to walk our dog.
Yeah.
And it's so cool because I used to live in Chicago and the air up there was rarely clear.
Right.
But down here it's, you know, usually clear.
Pretty clear.
And.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's very cloudless. And I've just gotten so fascinated by watching the changing of the moon.
Right.
Like I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
And I really hadn't since I was a kid.
Right.
It just fascinates me. And I'll be out walking the dog and thinking, wow, this is so cool, God. This is just so cool.
So we must believe that God exists.
And then he is the rewarder.
Oh, I love part two of that verse.
Those who diligently seek him.
Yes, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's an attitude adjustment there for a lot of people that they need to start seeking God diligently.
Well, and believing, too, that he's going to reward them.
Exactly.
Because some people say, oh, I'm not worthy.
Right.
And I think of Wayne's World. We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Oh, really?
You know, that movie, movie Wayne's World. They would always say that, and it's like, oh, don't go around confessing that.
No.
You know, that's part of our attitude adjustment. We need to see that in Jesus.
Exactly.
And if you believe in Jesus, you are then in Jesus. Whenever God looks at Jesus, he sees you. And whenever he looks at you, he sees Jesus.
Right.
That's what it means to abide in Jesus.
In you and with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's so important that God then wants to reward you.
Exactly.
He wants to
answer our prayers.
Exactly.
He wants to do the miracles.
Exactly.
Okay? And he wants us to grow up in him and realize we have to be totally dependent on him, which I think is huge, an attitude adjustment. Because a lot of people, it's control issues, you know? They don't want to surrender to God because it is all about making sure I can control all this and this and this and this in my life. And then something happens and they lose their control. And suddenly they're at the mercy of their circumstances unless they want to fall at the cross of Jesus and be at the mercy of him. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And some people, I mean, and I speak for myself. So often I want to give God control of 99.9% so I can be like ivory soap, 99.9% pure.
There you go.
But it's that 1/10 of 1%.
Right.
And that's the part that gets out of control, and that louses everything up.
Yeah,
it does.
I
mean, let's just be honest. I mean, being totally submitted to God is the only way to go. And I know that's not easy to do. And you have to it's something you need, that I need to do. I'm going to speak for everybody, but something I need to be aware of almost every hour, every minute of
trusting
the day.
Trusting him.
Because I mean, little things will come up,
right?
With, you know, friends or your spouse, or you'll see something on TV, or you'll hear a news story,
right?
And it's so easy to get a little fear.
Exactly.
We just read about those bombs.
Yeah.
That were headed towards Chicago,
right?
And you know, it's like, ooh, I used to live there, and ooh, and or we have, and I heard about. And I praise God for this. I'm still on the topic, believe me.
Okay.
There was a bomb that went off in central Istanbul.
Okay.
Well, I praise God that our friend Alice is back.
Is she back? Okay,
yeah, she's
good.
Back. She got back. I saw it on Facebook earlier this week.
Okay,
so
good.
I praise God that she's there. She's back in Houston. But, you know.
Right.
You know, praise God. Because it's things like that that can just get us all worried.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we're pulling back from God. And that's where we're not going to get a lot of prayers answered, because we're still holding on to worry.
Emotions.
We're still holding on. Yes, again, it's all that emotional stuff. Worry and doubt and fear.
What does our attitude have to do with it? Everything. Really, it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, because God operates in the realm of faith, you know. He rewards faith. Those who diligently seek him, you know, that's what it's all about. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. Go ahead.
Right. Well, and I'm having a kind of a blank here, but we're not those who shrink back
right
in fear,
mm-hmm.
but we come boldly before the throne of grace.
Amen.
In our time of need. So
yes.
The minute you start feeling those things like fear and worry and doubt, that's the time to go to God.
Amen. Those are those things that try to pull our spiritual house down. And I referred to those today as sinkhole. You know, sinkhole things.
The sinkholes, yeah.
Yeah, the sinkhole things going on that are like in Florida, which would be unsettling of the ground and the ground moving and shaking.
And it just opens up and swallows.
We've seen that in Florida, mm-hmm. where cars have been swallowed, houses have been swallowed. And guys, we can be swallowed by our bad attitudes. We can be swallowed up by doubt and fear and unbelief. And worry and anxiety and all of those things that some people take little pills for. You know, we can be totally and completely swallowed up by those things.
Amen.
You know, do you have something you want to read there?
Well, it's from our Asher girl.
Our Asher girl. All right. Oh, she must be listening.
Yeah, she has. She has a great ministry for poetry. So I just want to read what she said.
Okay.
You are in the control room. And he is so greatly in control. Today, your words will minister to others so they can become whole. Our attitude is so important as we face each and every day. With the teaching of life-changing prayer, he will make for us the way.
Wow. Oh, that
Thank
is
you
great.
So much.
Thank you so much. Blank Asher.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That is cool. So, you know, where we are, Pastor Jim, is life or death. Jesus said your life is found in the words mm-hmm. that you say, you know, and that what comes out of your mouth is so important.
So important.
And your attitude is reflected in what comes out of your mouth.
Well, and Jesus said,
golly.
By what you've got stored up, the treasure you have in your heart, that's what you're going to do. Mm. That's what, you know, you speak out of what's in your heart. And
yeah. Boy, that is so true. But go ahead.
Well, and it's so important that we have the word in our hearts so that we speak the word, because there's not fear in the word. There's not doubt in the word. There's not worry in the word. There's not unbelief in the word.
Right.
There is healing and life and prosperity.
Amen.
And deliverance and salvation. All of that
all
is in the word. And that's what we have to speak.
Let's take one. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Okay? With our words of negativity, we can cut the supply line off. I'm just telling you, I've done it in my own life, where the worry just takes over. And we are looking at the bank account, looking at what is there. We see that there's nothing there. We see we have this bill to pay and that bill to pay, and we have no clue how it's going to happen. Okay. We have maybe something huge happening. That is, maybe we're getting ready to lose our home in foreclosure. And we are, how can this, what God, what's going to happen here? And to look at our situation looks so huge and overwhelming and daunting that we see no answer. And so what happens is in our humanness, okay, where we are humanly made up of fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, and all those things, it begins to come out of our mouths, and sometimes it shows on our faces as worry lines, concern. Yeah, looks like that. If you can see us on video right now, if you're on the computer, you can see Pastor Jim making those crazy faces right now. And that would be just the way we humanly react to the circumstances that we each face in our lives. It could be financial. It could be health issues.
Right.
It can be family problems. It can be marriage problems, divorce, all those things.
And let me tell you, I just put this in
please
here. For people who are in relationships or in families,
right,
that's where That can be the hardest place.
Yeah.
That's where the struggle can really become the hardest. It's usually with the people you're closest to. So that's going to be your spouse, your family, your parents, your siblings, your children.
Yeah.
Your best friends. Yeah, that's where that's going to happen.
Yeah, because, and when it happens and we begin to, let's say, agree with the negative report, You know, I've been on this whose report do I believe lately.
You know, I have this feeling we'll probably end up singing that next Sunday.
I hope so. Because for a week, we've been believing God for the healing of a precious baby. And God began to deal with me last Sunday morning about whose report do you believe? You know, and that song says, I believe the report of the Lord. Okay. So it's an attitude adjustment when we choose to believe what God's word says versus that doesn't mean that the doctors aren't giving an accurate medical report. It's not that. But we choose to line up with what God says. God says, I'm the healed one.
Yeah. Talk about swimming upstream.
Yeah. And sometimes it is that way.
It is that way because
right,
what the word of God says may be in direct opposition to maybe what our flesh feels. What our eyes see, what our ears hear. I mean, you know, Psalm 91, another example, says, I'm protected, no plague is going to come near me.
Right. I love that. Moses wrote that.
Right. Yeah. And it's so important, especially in these days. We need to be confessing that.
Amen.
Because, you know, like I think of the people in Haiti with the cholera epidemic.
Right.
And I just speak to Haiti right now that that plague has stopped
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. We agree with that right now.
You know,
take authority over it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, we're a little radical if you're tuning in and listening and you think those people are a little strange. We sure are because we choose to believe that when God says, believe my word, stand on my word, walk in these promises and you shall live. That thy words were found. This is Jeremiah 15:16 is one of my favorite verses, and it says this, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Maybe the word of God is not the joy and rejoicing of your heart right now, but it can become that, and we're going to talk more about it in this next hour. Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Praise God. Love all those new stations that are a part of our Tan Talk family now. And this radio station goes, or this radio broadcast actually goes out on the computer, on the internet, live around the world. But also it is in all these different states based on the right now live on their radio station. So, in 8 different states. So we thank God for that and praise God for this outreach ministry. You can be a part. You can plant financial seed into the kingdom of God for this 2-hour radio broadcast that we have live every single week coming from Beacon of Hope. And you can do that by going to our website, which is www. Ready? Beacon of Hope Ministries. It ends in IES.com. We named it that to begin with, ministries, because we have more than one thing going on, all kinds of stuff. In fact, next Sunday, we have nursing home ministry at Palm Garden.
Amen.
At Curlew and McMullen Booth, the first Sunday of every month. Our dear Jeannie, who's a part of our congregation, and my mother, our residents at Palm Garden. And this morning when I walked in there, I thought I was picking up Jeannie, and then she became ill. But some of the people that were at our last service were in the entryway there, and I was able to call them by name, and they're excited about next Sunday's service. It is at 1:45 at Palm Garden Nursing Home in Clearwater. And that's one of the outreach ministries of Beacon of Hope. Of course, this radio broadcast we have going all the time. We have Bible study on Wednesday night. Pastor Jim, what happens on Bible study night on Wednesdays? You don't enjoy Bible study night, do you, Mr. Scholar?
Oh, please. I love Bible study. Well, first off, we get together for prayer beforehand, which
is
really important.
Yes, I love that.
You know, we talk about prayer requests, praise reports. We pray the word.
Amen.
And then we get, you know, Bible study then starts at 7, and it's more interactive than, say, a Sunday morning would be. I mean, people, everybody brings a Bible, we share, we, you know, whoever's leading, usually pastor, but it could be me, it could be Pastor Michelle, kind of lead things off, questions, we get answers, we go on discussions. It's just a really good interactive
time
feeding on the Word.
Nobody has to raise their hand.
Right.
They just interact. And we have tables set up in the sanctuary, and people can bring their dinner because a lot of times they're coming straight from work. We welcome you Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. We try to get out by 8:30, so it's not a lengthy night. You can get home at a decent hour. Mm-hmm. And that's every Wednesday at Beacon of Hope at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, next door to the Gold and Diamond Source. That's where we are. So on Sunday mornings, we have a regular worship service. And that starts at 11, and it's always great, great music. You lead that. Mm-hmm. We teach the word. We pray for people. Today was powerful, powerful, powerful. Oh, the anointing of God was so strong today. You know, Pastor Jim, it's all about the anointing.
Amen.
The anointing breaks the yoke. Some of you that may not have ever heard that word, anointing, what does that mean? That means the presence of God. It actually means to smear. To rub is what it means. And when we are smeared with God's presence, woo, were we ever smeared with God's presence today. And so much happened in the Spirit. It was a great day.
It was. It was good. The anointing was definitely
woo.
There.
Yes.
It poured out inside and out.
Oh, it was powerful, powerful, powerful. I'm still reeling from it. It's hard for me after a service like that to even talk normal, you know, and just enter back into like a normal life, because we were praying for people and we were seeing so many things happen in people's lives and answers to prayer. This is a great day. We welcome you on Sundays at 11. And then, of course, every Sunday from 4 to 6 on this radio station is our live radio broadcast. So we have a lot going on with this ministry.
Yes, we do.
And we're excited about all that God is doing. And we are growing, and we are going to grow right into next door. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So let's hear Juanita Bynum. Connie says it's a great song. You'll Never Thirst.
You'll never find her story in a fairy tale. She wasn't like the other women. She did.
Wow, that's a good song. Never heard that. Amen. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Let's look at Luke 18. And there is a story that Jesus told. And when Jesus tells these stories, they are so, so important. Today we are discussing how your attitude and my attitude, what's attitude have to do with answered prayer. And here we have an attitude that Jesus was talking about here. And it's found in Luke 18, and this little story down through about verse 8. Pastor Jim, you can read it in either translation, whatever.
Okay.
If you will.
Okay. Also, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up.
Amen.
He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced or feared God, nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary. And for a time he would not, but later he said to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming.
Ooh, wow.
Or at last she come and rail on me or assault me or strangle me.
What was this woman's attitude? Well, go on, finish it up.
Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says.
Yeah.
And will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth?
Oh, wow. When Jesus comes, will he find persistent faith on the earth? Will he find that?
Amen.
Does he find it now in us? This person that was railing to the judge and saying, help me, help me, help me, you know, and Jesus told this story. So this is so important, this whole concept that this person was, Jesus said, I'm telling you this story for a reason. I love it. He just spells it right out. He says, I don't want you to turn coward, faint, or give up. Isn't that what it said in your translation?
Turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. He didn't want us to do that.
He doesn't want us to do that. Now, those are attitudes that do what? Keep us from receiving the answers to prayer that we need. So let's talk about those a minute, Pastor Jim. They are what now? Turning coward. What's that mean?
Running away in fear, basically.
Okay. From the situation. I'm just going to bury my head in the sand. I'm going to put a pillow over my head and not deal with it.
Sometimes, you know, you say, like, I was frozen with fear. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying, don't do that.
Right. Yeah.
Come, be persistent. He invites us to grab on to God, as it were, and not let go.
Right. And pray in the Message Bible, it says pray consistently and never quit. But I love the way the Amplified breaks that out in taking the original meaning from the original Greek and expands it and says that Jesus is saying here, don't turn coward, don't faint.
Don't lose heart. Don't give up.
What's losing heart?
Discouragement. Discouraged. Yeah.
Just don't have
you say
any.
Somebody has a big heart, you know, that you think that they're. They're just out there motivated. They're very motivated.
Right.
If you lose heart, then you become discouraged.
Weak.
You've lost your motivation.
Right. And Jesus is saying here in Luke 18, verse 1, I'm telling you this story so you won't have these attitudes. Mm-hmm. Because if you have these attitudes, you're not going to get your answer.
Right.
I think Luke 18, 1 through 8 is a fascinating picture of the Father here. That Jesus is telling this story. Remember, we started the show saying Jesus is the mirror image of the Father. Jesus came to this earth to show us what the heart of the Father was.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is, I want you to learn to pray consistently, to pray earnestly, to not give up. Don't turn coward. Don't run. Don't give up. Don't this, don't that, you know? I don't know. You had one daughter. I had two sons and a daughter. I still do. And four grandchildren. And there are times I remember when my kids were little where there was a big neighborhood of kids, and every once in a while, one of my kids would get into some kind of an altercation with another child, and they would come home, and, you know, I tried, they would say, Mommy, come fix this, or whatever, mm-hmm. and I tried to get them to deal with it and not turn coward. You know what I'm saying? And I think God tries to get us to deal with our stuff.
Right, because sometimes either it's overwhelming or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're right. Either we put our head in the sand or we just turn around and run.
Right.
And God's saying, no, he's inviting us.
Yes.
To be persistent, to be, what's it say here? That they ought always to pray. And I like what it says over here that about the widow was, let's see.
In verse 4 or 5, the widow wouldn't quit badgering.
Right.
That's what it says in the Message Bible.
Yet this widow continues to bother me.
Bother me.
Okay. She gives me intolerable annoyance and wears me out.
And Jesus is saying, be that way.
That's how he wants us to be with the Father.
I mean, this is huge, Pastor Jim. Well, he's saying, do this. Bug God.
Exactly.
Don't just pray one time. And we talked about this Wednesday night of Bible study about the old, there was a teaching a few years back in Christendom, you know, in Christianity, where they would say, okay, you pray one time, then you leave it. You don't ever pray again because it'll show a lack of faith if you pray again. Jesus himself taught this passage. Keep on praying. Nathan Burton wrote a song years ago in one of our services. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. It's a great song. We'll have to play it on the air here. Keep on praying. Mm-hmm. Keep on doing this. Don't just do it one time and say, you know, our attitude is like, okay, God, I know you're there. Come on now. I need you to answer me. Jesus said, keep on.
Right. And what's like, and I mentioned this at Bible study, ask and keep asking, because it's present. It's present imperative. Ask and keep on asking.
Ask and keep on asking.
Seek and keep on seeking.
Yes.
Knock and keep on knocking.
That is in Matthew chapter 6, and it's also in Luke.
Luke repeats it.
Yes, and Luke repeats it and says, keep on. Ask, keep on asking. You know, it's not ask one time. No, in the original Greek, it is what you just said, present participle. What'd you call it? You called it something.
The present imperative.
Present imperative. And it is ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. Don't give up. What does our attitude have to do with it? Jesus is saying, you want more answers to prayer? Quit giving up. Quit getting discouraged and stopping praying. You know, quit turning coward and running like a little girl. You know what I'm saying? You know, quit being a coward. Be strong. Believe that God is going to do what his word says. In other words, faith is acting like God told you the truth. Whoa. Our attitude has everything to do with this, Pastor Jim. So we have that story. Let's go back to Luke 11. Let's go back a few pages left in your Bible to Luke chapter 11. You pointed this one out in verse 3, verse 5, right after Jesus prays the Lord's Prayer and teaches that to the disciples. He said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend traveling through just showed up and I don't have a thing on hand. That's before the days of 24-hour shopping.
Exactly.
This is back in the days where if you didn't have it in your house, you weren't going to get it in the middle of the night. The friend answers from his bed, don't bother me. The door's locked. My children are all down for the night. I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus is telling the story now. Everybody keep this in mind. Luke 11, verse 8. But let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and give you whatever you need. Here's what I'm saying. Here's where it was. Ask and you'll get, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will open. Woo! And then the next line of chapter 10 says this, don't bargain with God, be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? as bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? I love that old section of scripture. Oh, I'm going to shut up a minute and let you expound on it.
Okay.
Well, I get a drink of water.
Okay. Well, and I like this because it in verse 8, I tell you, going back to the parable, although he will not get up and supply him with anything because he is his friend, yet because, and this is how they amplified, because of his shameless persistence and insistence.
Persistence.
He will get up and give him as much as he needs. Mm-hmm. I like that. Shameless persistence.
And Jesus is saying, that's what I want you to be. That's the attitude we have to have.
Right. And I like
go ahead.
King James word there, the importunity.
Uh-huh.
I like that old word, but which means that shameless persistence. You just kind of sink your teeth into this and you don't let go until you got your answer.
Exactly. We've got some people on the radar right now that need prayer for healing, which we are going to do in a little while. And I will tell you that we are not giving up. There's several that are on the radar, God's radar and our radar right now. I don't mean radar out in the sky. I mean our spiritual radar.
Right.
That we are very aware of their needs. And we are going before the Father all the time and saying, God, don't forget. Wait a minute. We expect these results. We expect the good news. We expect the healing. We expect you to touch this person because your word says that this is part of the covenant, that you give us healing for our bodies, health, you know, and that you want to bless us.
Right.
So, Pastor Jim, what do we do with people out there that say, well, that just sounds like a whole lot of work to me, being persistent?
There's so much to say. There's so much to say. It is work.
It is work.
On one level, it certainly is work.
I mean, it's commitment. It is
a commitment.
Believing in what you believe.
And a commitment to believe.
Right.
But I'm going to put a plug in here for the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right. When God comes all
when
over
God
you
comes
and
all
fills
over you
up with him,
and you know,
it's
that's,
easy.
That's one of the reasons that God gives you a prayer language.
Right. It's easier, isn't it?
It makes it a whole lot easier.
Right. We'll teach on that again sometime soon. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it's so important because, yeah, it is work, but the rewards are so outstanding. I mean, you want being submitted to God, and I'm preaching to myself here, but being submitted to God and being filled with his presence and walking in his will and seeing him move through us is work. And it's not always easy.
And we don't take it lightly.
No, and we don't. And we shouldn't. And because it's a very serious thing. And it's not an easy thing because it requires commitment, consecration.
It does.
And that's...
A lot of prayer time goes into every sermon I preach and you preach.
And that's work.
That's work.
But you know what? I wouldn't give it up because the rewards far outweigh... any work I put in.
Well, and we believe what we're saying. Right. You know, I said this morning, I've had one of the hardest weeks of my entire life. This past few weeks have been very hard. And part of that is because some in my very close family have been very, very ill. And there have been a lot of other issues too. But I know that when I begin to speak what God's word says, my faith rises. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it is my foundation. You know, and even though I may have all kinds of things battered at me, you know, God's word is the foundation. I heard I was listening to Graham Cook and one of his CDs, and he said, you know, when you're in a tough situation, there are clues to what God's going to do, which I find this very interesting. And he gave the example, and I read it yesterday as I was studying for my sermon this morning. The story about when Jesus says to his disciples, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Okay. Well, they get halfway across and he falls asleep. Okay. You remember this story? Okay. And he's asleep and all of a sudden this huge storm comes up. Now, this is a metaphor for our lives because it happens all the time. We start out and we say, okay, we're going into ministry, let's say. You know, I answer the call of God. And then we get out in the middle of the lake and it's no longer everybody likes you. Now everybody hates you. Now
you're in the middle of a storm.
You're in the middle of a storm, or this person has decided to leave the church and they're mad, and this has happened and that has happened, and all these things happen, and you're out there in the middle of the lake and the storm comes up. And Jesus was asleep in the middle of that boat, you know?
Lord, don't you care that we're perishing?
And that's what they said, waking him up. Don't you care we're dying here? You know, and what did Jesus say? And he got up and he stood up, it said. I was reading this yesterday. Stood up.
Which,
okay?
Not an easy thing to do in a boat.
In a boat, those little boats. And it reminded me of how we need to take a stand. You know, we need to take a stand for what we believe, you know. And Jesus simply calmed the storm. Peace be still.
Peace be still.
Be still. And totally like glass, it said it became, the water.
And that's what we need to do. And again, it's not easy and it takes practice and it
right.
takes persistence. But we need to speak. We need to speak to the storm and say, peace, be still, not run around telling, oh, did you know what problems I got, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
We need to speak to those problems and say, peace,
right,
be still.
And I agree. And Graham Cook said, look at the clue that Jesus gave. Let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Okay. He knew he was going to take them to the other side,
mm-hmm.
but he also knew the storm was coming. So he decided to lay down and take a nap because people hate it when you're at peace. You know, the devil hates it when we are at peace in our circumstances. And how do you get at peace? With an attitude that God is there. The foundation of it is his word. And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. I want to get this song in. 10th Avenue North, Healing Begins.
So you thought you had to keep this up, all the work that you do. So we think that you're good, and you can't believe it's not enough. All the walls you built up are just glass on the outside. So let them fall down. There's freedom waiting in the sound. Let your walls fall to the ground. We're here now. This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light.
God, that's an interesting song. You've heard it. I'll let your walls fall to the ground. Wow. Pastor Jim, people put walls up all the time. That's a human tendency.
Well, we like to isolate ourselves from each other, from God.
Right.
Sometimes we build walls within ourselves to isolate ourselves from ourselves.
Right. Yeah. And so often those walls keep us from stepping out in faith because it's like our humanness says, well, what if God doesn't answer prayer this time for me? Or what if God doesn't? I haven't been good enough. I haven't been spiritual enough. Maybe I can't find my Bible. I last time I saw it was like 3 months ago. And so, you know, I haven't read it. So maybe it's been 3 years or whatever. That happens in people's lives where they begin to just accept the condemnation of the devil and his lies to keep you from accepting the truth of God's word.
And you know what? If you have a computer, if you can't find your Bible...
there you go. No excuse.
That's right. You go on the internet.
Right. And you can find God's word.
Well, you know, there's all sorts of Bible. I've got a couple in my favorites. Places you can go to read the Bible.
Sure. Gateway. Bible Gateway.
Bible Gateway is one. We can read the Bible in a lot of different translations, actually. You know, don't let condemnation get in the way. Yeah, so you haven't.
Okay.
Start now. Because God's not the one condemning you, because condemnation does not come from God. That's Satan's.
That comes from the devil. In fact, Jesus says in Romans 8:1,
there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
But you see, that's a trick of the devil. The devil's a liar, and he works in the power of suggestion. You know it, and I know it. And he does not want you to be persistent in your faith and believing God for answers to prayer. So he will come with the, and we've had shows on this before, but the what ifs. You know, well, what if this happens? What if you pray and nothing happens? What if you come up for prayer and the pastor lays hands on you and she asks you next week, well, how's your knee? And you have to go, still hurts. You know, well, then come up for prayer again.
Exactly.
For heaven's sake. We are not like that at Beacon of Hope. I tell our people, okay, until you get that healing, keep coming up for prayer.
Right.
And that is scriptural from what we just read in Luke 11 and Luke 18. Jesus said, and I know I'm preaching here, but I tell you, I feel so strongly about this, Pastor Jim. I believe so many people miss out on their miracle because their attitude is wrong. And as we move into this Thanksgiving season, Jesus says, begin with an attitude of gratitude before you ever see the answer to your prayer. But I think a lot of times the devil convinces people, well, what if God doesn't love you enough, or you haven't been holy enough, and you haven't been good enough, and you haven't read your Bible enough, and you haven't been to church enough, and you haven't paid enough tithes, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? The not enoughs. Do you have any answer to that, Pastor Jim?
Yeah, the devil's a liar.
Amen.
But you know what? None of us are good enough.
Right.
Honestly, none of us read our Bible enough.
Right.
None of us pray enough.
What is enough anyway?
Exactly. That's my point. What exactly is enough? And sometimes I think, you know, we kind of listen to what the devil says, and we set very unrealistic standards.
Right. I'm gonna read for an hour and a half every day. You know, come on.
And then
a lot of times we can't do that with our schedules.
And when we're not able to do that, then we put ourselves under condemnation.
Right.
Which just drives a wedge between us and the Lord.
Exactly.
And that's a wedge that doesn't have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
God says even when we sin, you know, it says if we confess, John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
All unrighteousness.
Beginning of 1 John chapter 2. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous
one. Praise God.
And he is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice.
Amen.
For our sins. And not just ours, but for the whole world. I sin. Okay,
everybody does. We worry. Worry is a sin. Fear is a sin.
And I've been
doubt is a sin.
And I've been under condemnation. And I will quote those verses.
Yes, right.
To myself as I'm praying. I mean, I turn
those
into a prayer.
God, forgive me. Forgive me for my unbelief. Forgive me for my doubt.
Lord, I'm confessing X, Y, and Z, and I thank you that you're faithful and just, Jesus. Forgive me my sins. I thank you, Father, that I have an advocate with you.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And that Jesus is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for my sins.
Amen.
I just turn it right into a prayer and praise God. You speak the word.
Yes.
Boom.
Oh.
It's just gone.
Well, the devil tries to deceive us, really. It's just a sack of baloney. I don't know what to say here, but you know what I'm saying? It's just this stuff that he says to us to try to keep us from being persistent and believing God
right.
for our miracle, for our answer.
Well, if he can, yeah, because, I mean, look, that goes all the way back, and, you know, I'd love to talk about this, but all the way back to the garden.
Yeah.
You know, okay, did God, I mean, the first thing he wants to do is get us to not believe the promises.
Right.
What did he say to Eve? Did God really say?
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
The devil's good at that.
You just hear him kind of hissing that out.
Yeah.
Did God really say?
Yeah. You know? Oh, that was good. Ooh,
yeah,
that
good?
Scared me. Ooh.
That was supposed to be my imitation of a serpent.
Of the devil. Ooh. That was scary.
You know, but, you know, first of all, it's like questioning the veracity, the truth
right,
of God's
word. Right, the truth of God's word.
And then what did Eve do? Something we're all too familiar with. She
right.
said, well, yeah, right. He said we couldn't eat it and we couldn't touch it. Huh? Where'd she come up with that? That's not in the Bible.
Right.
God didn't tell him not to touch it.
Right.
He just said not to eat it.
Right.
You know, and because, you know, she said, God said, if we eat it, we're going to die. And then Satan said,
really?
No, you're not, you won't die.
Right.
Because, and then it's like Satan likes to kind of tell us that maybe God's holding out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because God knows when you eat of this, you're going to become just like him.
Right.
Knowing good from evil.
And people are so attracted to power and control.
Right. And
knowing, being just like God.
Right.
Wow.
And that again, I mean, Eve was deceived.
Right.
And it's, we can be, you know, that's why we need to stay in the word, believe his
word. That's
our
foundation instead of getting into sinkhole activity, because that's
exactly.
a place you're going to go down into quicksand
exactly.
when you start going with the what ifs and when you start really just living life on your own and not needing the word of God. I need God's word on a daily, moment by moment basis. I need the truth of God's word, Pastor
Jim. It is our food.
It is.
It is our food. I mean,
thy words were found and I did eat them and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart.
Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 32.
Mm-hmm.
These are not just, I mean, Moses
right.
gave this big long prophecy and he
yes.
said, these are not just idle words for you.
Yes.
They are your very life.
They are your
the
life.
The whole word is
Amen.
Our very
it's,
life.
That's it. And we have to have it. And I'll go so far as to say, people, you need to get a good Bible believing church and be a part of it, because you can do so much on your own, but you need the fellowship, you need the learning, you need the fresh rhema word that comes like it did this morning at Beacon of Hope, mm-hmm. where God comes and meets us right where we are, and that anointing, that smearing of God on us happens, and we walk out of there going, wow, we have met God here again. And we need that in our lives. We need the fresh
right.
exposure to God's presence in our lives. We need it. It's not good enough just to do our own thing.
Well, and I like the, I mean, I always go back to the example of getting into the word needs to be a daily thing. How often did the Israelites gather manna?
And right,
you mentioned
that's
manna,
a good point. Yeah.
Quick to my head.
Yeah.
They gathered it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if they let it go, it turns stale and wormy.
I know, but I know how it happens to me. When I begin to quote the word, you know, we have the Prayers That Avail Much book, mm-hmm. which we encourage everybody to get a copy at your local bookstore or order it online. Prayers That Avail Much by Jermaine Copeland. All it is prayers for every aspect of your life, and it is the word. And she has a great introduction there where she explains why she put this together. But it's been a life-changing book in my life since I first had them in my Christian bookstore that I owned back in the 80s, which was a long time ago.
But it's so true, because you can't go wrong when you pray the word.
No, you can't go wrong.
And I like the fact that in this book, I mean, in this book of prayers, she uses King James, Amplified,
The Message, all of them.
New
yeah.
International.
All of them,
just,
yeah.
And it's so nice because, and I praise God for that ministry of hers, because,
yes.
I mean, like you said, prayers for everything, for salvation, healing, deliverance.
Vision for a church. We pray that every Wednesday at Beacon of Hope. And your prosperity of your business and
right.
your finances, everything is there. Prayers That Avail Much by Jermaine Copeland. We encourage you to get one. But speaking about that, Pastor Jim, it's the word that changes us, and that's our foundation. And people, and I propose that what does our attitude have to do with it? I think that a lot of Christians are just kind of sailing along with an attitude of complacency. That their little ship is rocked by complacency and whatever until life happens, the situation happens, and we've got to draw on what God says mm-hmm. about us physically or whatever. Attitude has everything to do with it. I have a close relative of mine that has a very serious disease, a form of leukemia. And I will say that this man has the most wonderful attitude of anybody that I've seen with an illness this serious. He is positive. He doesn't like people to talk about it. He doesn't like to give it any airtime. He doesn't want to be told, oh, are you okay? None of that. Mm-hmm. You know, he is positive in knowing that where he's at and he's moving forward. And when it comes to the things that we all encounter in our daily lives, be it illness, be it financial distress, be it job problems, spouse problems, whatever they are, there is a final authority. And the final authority is God's word if you choose to make that your final authority.
Right.
You know, there's a story told, and it's a true story, and I used to carry her book in my Christian bookstore, Dodie Osteen, which mm-hmm. is the mother of Joel Osteen, that many of you out there probably watch his broadcast on TV on Sunday mornings, and it's probably on at other times, too. Joel Osteen has a mega church of thousands and thousands of people now. But Joel Osteen's mother, Dodie, who is still alive, I believe, last I heard was, she and John started, his dad started this little ministry many years ago in Texas. And Dodie was diagnosed with cancer, and they sent her home to die. And those of you out there with grave illness, you need to get a copy of Healed of Cancer by Dodie Osteen. And it is what her story, what happened to her, and how she went home and realized, okay, I only have a few days or a few weeks to live, so I am going to believe God's word. And she saturated herself with the word of God. That was her foundation. Now she's lived, and that was like in the 70s that happened to her, 30, 40 years ago, that this happened to her. And she chose to believe God and made God's word her final authority. And she just kept getting better and better. Mm-hmm. Soon she was stronger. Soon she was able to walk again, not confined to her bed. Soon she was able to go out and do things. She was healed. Gradually or instantaneously, who cares how it happened? She was healed.
Amen.
Okay. And it wasn't, in her case, it wasn't with medical science because they sent her home just to die.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, well, ain't that just amazing?
Were you going to say that?
Ain't that just amazing?
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's just, there's so much power in the word.
Oh.
I mean, look at that for Dodie. I mean,
yeah.
You make the word the final authority. Okay, I'm going to speak the word no matter what the world
exactly.
says.
Right.
I'm going to believe the word.
Exactly. We used to sing a song in Cornerstone, my church in Indiana, and some of my Cornerstone people listen to this broadcast regularly, and some of them will remember this little chorus. The word is working mightily in me. The word is working. I won't sing it. The word is working mightily in me no matter what the circumstances. What I feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. And I love that song. You know, no matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. That's the final authority mm-hmm. here. Okay. Some of you may know someone in your life who's gravely ill right now. Perhaps there's somebody who is losing their job and is getting ready to lose their house. There may be some serious situations in your life. And in just a moment, we are going to play a fantastic Clint Brown song. Not yet, but just a moment. We're going to play a song, and we are going to pray for you at the end of that song. And we'll probably play that song again and keep it rolling in the background. But Pastor Jim, before we get there, I want to give you the opportunity to try to spell out what we've been saying on the show in a way that you are so eloquent, and I love you and appreciate you so much. God brought you to Beacon of Hope 2 years ago, and Amen. Now you're officially. Kelly, an associate pastor with me, along with Pastor Michelle. And I praise God for you and for your life and our consistent prayer times together, like this morning before the service. Just bless me so much. And I just can't tell you how much I love you and appreciate you.
Well, and I praise God, first of all, for bringing me to Florida and for helping me to find Beacon of Hope. I told the story before that I started looking for a church even before we moved down here. Excuse me. And, you know, I praise God for your ministry, that you've been consistent. You didn't give up when there were many times for you.
Oh, there were a few opportunities.
And you didn't. So pray.
Many opportunities.
Yeah. So I'm praising God. Woo. Beacon of Hope was here when I moved down and is still here because
nine years, in our 10th year.
Yeah, y'all are such a blessing to me. But the whole, we've talked about so much, but basically it's the word building. Yes. Building your prayer life on the foundation of the Word of God, because that's what's going to combat all the sinkhole situations, the doubt, the worry, the fear, all of those. If you concentrate on the Word of God, and even just speaking, I mean, even if you only know one scripture for your particular situation, you're facing financial problems, the only scripture you know is out of Philippians chapter 4. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If that's the only scripture you know for that, then you just keep repeating it.
Amen.
Be persistent. Exactly. If the only scripture you know for healing is 1 Peter 2:24.
Right.
By his stripes ye were healed. Then just keep repeating that.
Amen.
Make that your prayer.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that. And that's because that's you're praying the word, and there's...
Amen.
There's nothing that gets God's attention more than his own word.
Woo, he loves it. Yes. So, and the angels go and respond to the word.
Exactly.
Psalm 103, verse 20.
Exactly.
The angels go, and also Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 or 14, where the angels are sent to carry out the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So that's so important that we just stick with the word, because that's how we battle all these sinkholes, all these other distractions.
Right.
And, you know, we said it before, you believe...
Yes.
That, you know, by faith you believe that God is, that he exists, and that he rewards those who diligently, and we talked about that, kind of sinking your teeth
Hebrews 11:6.
Being persistent, he rewards those who diligently seek him.
And that is what your attitude has to be.
Amen.
I'm going to seek God. I'm going to build my life on the foundation, the final authority being God's word in my life, and I'm going to be persistent, and I'm going to believe God for the answers that I need. And that's what it's all about. Dear one, get ready with your prayer request right now. And we are going to believe God. We are believing God right now for a mighty move of his spirit this moment as we listen to this song, Surround Me by Clint Brown.
Surround me, oh Lord, surround me, oh Lord, surround me. Let your presence fill this place.
Surround us, oh Lord, right now. Lord, we pray for every single person that is listening to this broadcast right now. Lord, we ask that you surround them right now with the presence, the anointing, the healing power of Almighty God. Lord, where there are knees that need to be healed, where there's a back out there right now, I declare healing to that back right now. take the music down just a little spot, Bill. Just a little bit more. Just a tiny bit more. Where there are those out there with digestive problems that need a touch from Almighty God, let this be the touch that you need. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. I see a person with migraines that is just continuing to suffer. God wants to heal you right this minute. Reach out and let God surround you with His presence and His anointing and take that healing right now. There are some of you that have been given a very grave illness report, and it is not good, and God wants to touch your body. Reach out right now and let God surround you with His presence. Take His healing. Amen. Take His healing Amen. Right now into your body. There's somebody right now that's got an ear problem that persists so much, and it makes your balance off. God wants to heal you right now. Let go of that. Let go. Just drop it at His feet and believe that God wants to surround you with His power and His presence. And it is time right now for some of you out there to believe God for your financial miracle. Bill, let's put that back on for just a moment, and then we'll go to keep on praying in just a moment. But put it back on. Surround me. Just, yeah, there we go. Let God surround you right now with His presence. Let Him fill you to overflowing with Him. We talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is just saying, God, fill me up with You. Fill me up to overflowing. If that's the cry of your heart, tell Him right now. Let His presence fill you right now. If you need to believe God for something huge, whatever it is in your life, maybe it's the restoration of a relationship, a marriage. Maybe it's the restoration of your finances. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it is your physical body or somebody close to you that is gravely ill. God says, reach out to Him right now and let His presence surround you and believe right now. Believe right where you are. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Take it right now. Take it, dear one. Come on. Take it right now. Take it by faith. Take your miracle. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody's got paralysis in your leg. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. God wants to raise you up. God's going to touch that leg right now in the name of Jesus. There's an AIDS patient out there right now that is suffering greatly. God says, be restored to health. Stand on your feet and claim your healing right now, AIDS patient. It's a man. I see you in the eyes of the Spirit right now. Stand and take your healing right this moment. Receive it by faith. Somebody that is plagued by cancer, God says, believe God right now for your healing. This is your moment. Believe God. Just reach out and say, I believe. God, help my unbelief. Reach out, and He's touching your body right now. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, He's right there. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Praise God. We want to hear from you.
Amen.
Write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you've had a touch from God today, we want to hear about it. Bill, do we have that song? Two more minutes and we're coming up. And it is one of Nathan Burton's songs. Nathan, if you're listening today, I want to hear from you. And you have written some powerful, powerful music. Beacon songs. There's even a CD that you can get from Nathan. And you can write us and ask how you can get that. But this is one of those songs mm-hmm. that he wrote. And evidently, as Maxine up in our webmaster up in Georgia was listening to the show today, she was moved to send this song to Bill. They are doing this right now via computer. she is sending this song to him, and we're going to play it in just a moment. Pastor Jim, for those out there that are discouraged and fearful and don't know where to turn, they need to run to Jesus, don't they?
Amen.
And this song we just played, Surround Me With Your Presence, they need to get into the Word of God and realize God's got something powerful for them, a way of life that is maybe different than they've ever, ever experienced.
Amen. It's be strong, Scripture says. Be strong and have good courage.
Yes.
You know, the Lord is on your side.
Yes.
You know, don't be discouraged, but be encouraged, because
Amen.
God is on your side.
Mm.
He is all about being on your side.
All about it. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you.
Amen. Amen.
Wow.
And it's so important that we just keep our eyes on the Word and our eyes on the Lord.
And keep on praying.
And keep on praying.
Be persistent. Oh, boy. You got to listen to this song by Nathan Burton. Here we go. He wrote it. And he's playing it. This is him.
Keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Keep on praying. And knowing He will answer too. Keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Don't give up. Don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Keep on praying. And knowing He will answer too. Keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Don't give up. Don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying. Pray until something happens.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying. Pray until something happens.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying. Pray until something happens.
Wow.
Praise God.
That's one of many he wrote in services at Beacon of Hope. And boy, Maxine, you are right. It just fits in today's show.
Amen.
Great. And Nathan, if you're listening, we love you with all our hearts. And God is doing mighty things here, Pastor Jim. We are building a foundation based on the Word of God. Our slogan at Beacon of Hope is where the Word of God brings healing
and restoration
to hurting lives. It does not say where we have this social program or that social program. Our slogan from the day we opened in 2001 is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And so often people look at people. We had this discussion at lunch, some of us today, about how people say, well, I'm not going to church because it's full of hypocrites. Well, yeah, that's where we belong. So God can work on us and get us all taken care of,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yes, there are hypocrites, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be there with the people of God. Because as we learn in our interactions with each other, we learn to forgive each other.
Yeah, and
you know,
I was just going to say, how many of those people pray for the hypocrites?
Well, there you
go. Or then you just use it as an excuse not to go. But you know what? Pray for the people.
Exactly. You know, and it's all about keeping on praying. Bill, can we do Nathan's song again in just a minute? Okay. Because instead of our normal ending today, how long is the song? When do we need to come on with it? In two more minutes? All right. Okay. So as you can all see out there, and, you know, we don't plan this live radio. We don't know what we're doing. We didn't know we were even doing that song. So Pastor Jim, I'll give you a minute for final thought.
Well, praise God. I mean, this, again, it's the Word. And I just want to encourage people, if whatever you need, you're going to find the answer and
Amen.
The promise
yes.
for your need in the Word of God.
Amen.
And like I said before, even if it's just one scripture
yeah.
That's all it takes.
Exactly.
Just hold on to that scripture. Just sink your teeth into it and don't let go of it until God gives you the answer.
And, you know, I'm going to, when you said that earlier, a scripture came to me and I'm going to give it out right now. Psalm 103, the first couple verses, I think it's the first three verses. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget none of his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all our iniquities, and he heals all our diseases."
Amen.
Okay? That's Psalm 103, 1 through 3. And if you don't know anything else, God forgives everything that you've ever said or done. He heals all your diseases. So hang on to that one. And then you gave Philippians 4, 19. Is it 13?
13.
13. "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Verse 19 of Philippians 4 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So there you've got some word to hang on to. This has been Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, and we've had a wonderful time. And here's Nathan Burton.
Amen.
See you next week. All right, tune in. Tell a friend. 4 o'clock next
Keep
Sunday.
On praying. Pray until something happens. Keep on praying and knowing he will answer too. Keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Don't give up. Don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Keep on praying and knowing he will answer too. Keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Don't give up. Don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying. Pray until something happens.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying. Pray until something happens.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give in. We already know.
Praise God. See you next
win.
Week on Living the Good
so
Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Tell a friend. Invite them to listen. 4 o'clock Tampa time next Sunday. God bless you.